Dog.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
This has become kind of a familiar sight around Dog Nation, but it never gets old. Georgia wins another major commitment battle, this time for four-star offensive tackle Tate Ratledge. The Darlington School in Rome, Georgia was the place to be earlier this morning. Dog Nation was on hand. Our buddy Jeff Sintel, who, by the way, is going to join us here live, kind of an impromptu conversation in just a couple of minutes, a couple seconds, really, as we get Jeff's behind-the-scenes story on what happened with Ratledge. But this has become, as I said, kind of a familiar sight. Hats on the table, the Georgia G prominently placed, and the young man in question putting that Georgia hat on. It happened for Tate Ratledge a bit earlier, and the backstory behind all of this is it's probably a little bit more of a recruiting challenge than maybe initially meets the eye. Rome, to a certain extent, is kind of all country, a little bit up in the north part of the state. There are a lot of Tennessee fans up there. Ratledge family itself, Tennessee fans. The famous Tennessee sticker that Jeff Sintel's reported on the back of Ratledge's father's truck. Well, I guess that's going to be peeled off now. I'd love to see that ceremony as Ratledge has committed to Georgia. For more on this right now, let's check in live in Rome, Georgia. Jeff Sintel, Connor Riley. Great coverage from up there a little earlier. Jeff joins us here on Dog Nation Daily here today. First of all, Jeff, I know it's been busy for you. You're riding a lot. You're reporting a lot. You've also been traveling around a bunch. So thanks for taking a couple of minutes to be with us here, first of all.
Hey, guys. Yes, good morning, Dog Nation. It was a good day for Georgia, the 2020 class, and Sam Pittman again. It's kind of funny how I listened to your tease to our segment, Brandon, and well, that would be hard-hitting and in-depth coverage if we were able to go Facebook Live and stream the removal of the power tee. And you know what I'm told, Brandon? I'm told this is some live, local, and late-breaking coverage here. I'm told that sucker's coming off today. They will have a deplating. It's funny. You roll up here to Darlington School today, and I saw his father in his father's truck, and I was like, wow, that is impressive. I guess poise, but also patience, because he still was in character. He still had the Power T license plate on when he rolled up to Darlington School today, and the family has told me, among a lot of cool things that people will read about Tate on DogNation.com, and probably today or tomorrow, one of the things that's going to happen is they will not have a T flag and a G flag flying over their house. They will not have house-divided plates. This is about Tate. This is about their son and his future. And they're going to be wearing a lot of Georgia red and black in the future.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Great coverage from Rome, Georgia, a little earlier. And, Jeff, there's only so much that our camera can show in an event like this. There's stuff to the periphery that just not going to show up on video. And that's one of the reasons why I like talking to you after these announcements take place, because you can give us a bit of a description of the behind the scenes. There are a couple of things I'm curious about. First of all, being that it is Rome, that's geographically, you know, kind of close to Knoxville, my guess is there probably were a few Tennessee fans in the room. Did you get the sense there was a division in the room about where they wanted Ratledge to go, Georgia or Tennessee? Was there a sense of mystery in the room, or did people already know that Ratledge was going to choose UGA? And I guess any other behind-the-scenes details that you can share with us. Obviously, it looks great on camera, what was kind of on the platform and Ratledge's own words, but sometimes the behind-the-scenes part of this is the most interesting part. What did you notice that we didn't get a chance to see?
Well, there's a lot of stuff. Mostly what they did is they packed in the student body, and, you know, Brandon, Darlington is the Darlington School here in Rome is a strong school, strong academic place. It's a school that a lot of these kids have homework 2 hours a night, and sometimes a freshman and sophomore year of college is maybe not as tough as the senior year grind with AP classes and everything else like that. I think it was more of a celebration for Tate, for a kid. You can still find him in his neighborhood playing football on his knees with the younger kids or hurling kids around. And I think this was just a celebration of Tate kind of realizing his dream. And it's funny, he'd known probably since right after G-Day. And, I mean, a lot of the Georgia commits didn't even know. Like, Tate told me he hadn't even told Carson for sure where he was going. I'm talking about Carson Beck there. So they found out via live stream like everybody else when the commitment edits and the tweets started dropping or whatever. But, you know, the thing with Tate, and I've done hundreds of these, I guess, by now, and the thing that struck me is it happens every so once in a while that he was up at the podium, he was making his decision, and he had announced it to the world. And it was a little dusty up there for him. He was a little misty-eyed, just a little bit, his family. And I don't think that people realize all the trips that these guys go on and all the maybes or I think this is it or what will my moment look like. And it was kind of like a graduation day for him as a football player from high school in terms of, you know, he'd already settled on his next heading, his next true north, I guess we might say here. But what happens is he just took a moment and it just sunk in that he was realizing a lifelong dream to play college football. He was happy where he was going. There was no second guessing. But at the same time, he said that was a moment that will decide the rest of his life, and it was the biggest decision of his life. And he was quite happy with the one he made.
Yeah, that's great to hear. It is a big day for that family, and we're certainly proud to have been able to share that with them on the Dog Nation video channels a little earlier. And, Jeff, you know my perspective as a Georgia fan. I want Georgia to get the best players it can possibly get. However, with that said, I have to admit there's something kind of cool about the fact that Ratledge, who is the absolute prototypical-looking Sam Pittman offensive lineman, the fact that he is from the state of Georgia, I kind of like that. Now, listen, if Ratledge lived in Montana, I'd still like him as a player. But all things being equal, it's fun to keep those dogs at home, as it's been said on the recruiting trail before. I kind of like the fact that Ratledge hails from the Peach State. I guess that's kind of a nice thing for Georgia, becoming a slightly more rare thing. But I'll admit, I like adding another in-state name to the 2020 fold.
Well, yeah, Brandon, and you might not get a lot of these. You might want to dance the jig around your studio today after this one, because my internal documents, I got a spreadsheet on my laptop that has a lot of information about where I think the class is going to go and maybe what I'm hearing where the class is going to go. And I don't know if there'll be more than like 5 or 6 or 7 maybe Georgia's homegrown Bulldogs in the class at all for 2020. I don't know if there'll be a lot more of these where Georgia might, you know, sign another or get a commitment from another in-state prospect, at least in the 2020 class. So you look at the in-state commitments right now, Georgia's got Nazir Stackhouse, they got Jameel Burrows, they got Justin Robinson, they have Tate Ratledge now, and then they have a gentleman from Florida, Carson Beck. They have the two gentlemen from Texas, that's Jalen Kimber and Akiola Ogunbi. And that's how they get to 9. And, you know, one of the things that went up in that DogNation.com breaking commitment story on Tate Ratledge is right at Georgia with just 9 commitments now is number 5 overall in the 24/7 sports composite rankings for 2020. And I think they got Tech and Buzz in that Model T in the rear view or Model A in the rear view now because they're coming up. And Georgia, this is a stat I think you will find especially delicious, Brandon, is everyone else in the top 5 has at least 14 commitments, and Georgia only has 9 public commitments at this time.
Yeah, that's great to see. Jeff, last remaining seconds we have together, and I don't want to take too much of your time. You've been gracious to share it with us. I guess give us a little bit of a thumbnail about Ratledge as a player. I joked about this before. At 6'7", big long arms, north of 300 pounds, if Sam Pittman drew a speck of what he wants his offensive lineman to look like, Ratledge certainly seems to fit the bill on that. For those watching on video, we're seeing some highlights of him working at some recent camps. But just give us a quick thumbnail on Ratledge as a player.
Yeah, so he punts for his high school team. He's about 6'6", almost 6'7", about 3'10". Interesting factoids will be coming up on Dog Nation, but he's adept enough to play both ways. He's already been invited out to the opening finals in Texas. He was the MVP alpha dog of the D-line testing sessions at the Atlanta Regional. Nation's number 39 overall prospect, nation's number 5 offensive tackle. That currently gives Georgia the nation's number 2 and number 5 offensive tackles in the class. The other one of those would be the offensive tackle out of Athonia, Broderick Jones, to think about there. And, you know, Brandon, there's one little story. It's already up in the commitment story, but I know folks have jobs and they have to work. But this is a really good one, two really good ones that kind of just show just why Sam Pittman is, you know, but people throw out the phrase the GOAT, but I guess whoever the GOAT may bow to when it comes to recruiting offensive linemen, that's where I guess Sam Pittman makes his hay. But I was having a conversation with Tate probably a couple months ago, and he was talking about, we were walking across his high school field, and he was talking about the relationship he already had then. He had a conversation with Coach Pittman, which essentially was, how do I let a school know that I'm just not that into them, that I'm just not feeling them? How do I let them know that they don't have a chance? How do I do it in a classy way and how do I let them know the right way to do it? And the first thing Pittman said, even though he is an ace recruiter in every right for Georgia, he's like, if I'm going to tell you this, you're not going to turn around and use this on me, are you? And Tate Ratledge laughed, and he said, no, Coach, that's not going to be for you. And then Coach Pittman told him, the best way to do it is to text him. You have to talk to the gentleman on the phone. You're going to have to make sure that you do most of the talking and you keep talking. Otherwise, they're going to try to wedge their way in there and try to say some things and try to get you off your block. But when you have a highly rated prospect already finding the counsel, the advice, the relationship to go to a recruiter to say, how do I let another school down the right way and still come off as a good person and as a good recruit to do it the right way? The Georgia coach helped him out with that, and just those conversations. And then, Brandon, I'm sure you're going to get at least 10 minutes of good airtime about this, but the tweet from Coach Pittman this morning, first of all, let me unlock all the Easter eggs there. First of all, Darlington, they're the Tigers. Their primary colors are purple and white and black and gray. Well, Sam Pittman was wearing a purple jacket during his yes, sir, speech today. He had Purple Rain playing in the background for Prince. He was shaking his pom-pom. And this is one of his longer yes, sirs. I'd like to get our Dog Nation staff to see what was one of the longer yes, sirs from Sam Pittman during his commitment glee after moments. But that one, whoever does the ideas and helps Sam Pittman with this stuff, the inclusion of the purple jacket, the inclusion of the Purple Rain soundtrack to match his high school program, man, that's just pure gold.
That is pure gold, Jeff. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. We appreciate your coverage of DogNation.com. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you on the Ratledge thing in Rome today. Also, for the folks who haven't had a chance to check this out, great stuff with Carson Beck over the weekend. Jeff, when you come back on the show tomorrow, no doubt in addition to the aftermath on Ratledge, we'll talk about your conversation with Beck. Great thing on the Dog Nation video channel. We just appreciate you being a part of this with us here today.
All right, guys, Brandon, that's going to satisfy your appetite for Monday, I think, right? The commitment grocery shopping has been done for today, Dog Nation.
Yeah, I'll give you 9 seconds before somebody now says who's next, but you know how that goes, Jeff. Thanks for your time.
Yes, sir.
Good stuff there from Jeff Sintel, Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Radio Noon, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. We are glad to have you with us. It is Chip Towers Monday staple coming up in just a couple of moments. Jeff was a little bit of a free bonus for you today on the heels of a Tate Ratledge. So it's Chip here coming up in just a moment. Let me also remind you, though, as you're making plans for your summer, make sure you include Dog Nation Days of Summer as a part of that. If you're watching on video over my shoulder, we got the Dog Nation Days of Summer reminder. We think it's going to be a blast. It begins on Thursday, June 13th at Callaway Resort and Gardens. And by the way, rooms are filling up, so please go to DogNation.com. You can find your link in there to the big event at Callaway, including how you can register for your chance to win a VIP stay as a part of that. Now, understand something. When I say VIP, we've got a special VIP event taking place there that night. It's going to start at 5 p.m. The regular event for the general public begins at 6, but for the first 20 rooms booked to Callaway Resort and Gardens, get a special invitation to a VIP event taking place earlier there that evening starting at 5 p.m. So go register to be a part of that, and then if you win the stay, you know, you can, we'll comp your trip or whatever else, but don't miss out on your chance to book and be a part of the VIP event. By the way, I've got a big announcement coming up about how Dog Nation Days of Summer are getting even bigger on June 13th at Callaway Resort and Gardens, and there are limited opportunities to join us for some golf there. So listen, just go to DogNation.com. All the information's there for that. This is going to be so much fun. It's relaxed, loose. We're not going to be too serious. We're going to talk some football, have a good time, work on our suntans, and just have a generally speaking really, really good time. So I hope you'll join us for Dog Nation Days of Summer. Before I get Chip Towers here, coming up in just a moment, let me go back to last week. Kirby Smart makes an appearance on the Paul Feinbaum radio program. Paul is good at a lot of things. One of the things that he's really good at is stirring the pot and getting people all fired up. And obviously some of the things that Dan Mullen and some of the people around Florida have said this offseason have gotten a lot of Georgia fans fired up. But someone who's not going to join in the fray on this, not going to do what I do, which is fan the flames of Gatorade every single day, Kirby Smart has no intentions of doing that. Here's what he told Paul Feinbaum.
I just don't know that there's a lot that we control by the words we say. Football so much to me is play between the lines and the physicality of the people that play it. And we're going to play a brand of football at Georgia that's physical and tough, and we don't really want to talk to the opponent. If I go out doing that as a coach, how do I look to my players? So it's not something that I enjoy doing or want to do. I just kind of work real hard and grind and go play the game and may the best team win.
If I go out there and do that as a coach, how am I going to look to my players? That's what Kirby Smart asked. That's not a rhetorical question. We know how you look. You look like Dan Mullen, who looks like a total clown based on the way that he's had recruits lost out of the program and signees now putting their name in the transfer portal. His program seemingly is coming apart at the seams, and the trash talk makes it look like he's fiddling while Rome burns. And Kirby Smart doesn't want to do that. Instead, as Kirby told Feinbaum, here's what he wants his program to do instead. You're going to love this.
I just don't think you need that. I don't think that's what's going to make Georgia great. We're not going to move up in the rankings because of what I say or what I do. We're going to do it by how we play. And we want to talk with our helmets. That's what we've always talked about. We want to play physical brand of football and not really do it with our mouthpiece.
We have played audio of Kirby Smart saying that before. This is apparently something that behind the scenes they take very seriously. And if you're a Georgia fan, how much do you love the idea of Dan Mullen running his mouth, blabbering over and over and over again, and Kirby Smart behind closed doors to his players saying, we do our talking with our helmets. Now, over the last couple of years, Georgia's message with its helmets to Florida has been an emphatic one, dominant in 2017 and again in 2018 with Dan Mullen at the helm of that. In fact, some of the trash talk that Mississippi State was a part of leading into the Georgia game there in 2017 was also kind of a talk with your helmets type day for the dogs and all that. So Georgia's been really good at this recently, and I'm guessing that this fall against Florida, after a offseason of mouth running, well, Georgia will do a lot more talking with its helmets then as well. All right, we got plenty more to come today on Dog Nation Daily, including some really interesting stuff from some of the next generation of big-name Georgia stars. We'll get to that, but here on Dog Nation Daily, as you've come to expect on a Monday, let's talk to Chip Towers right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
A little late getting to Chip Towers today, and I apologize for that, but Chip's good enough to join us here on Dog Nation Daily as always. And Chip, I guess before we get into all the stuff I want to talk to you about, let's take a moment here on the news of the day. A moment ago, Georgia getting a four-star offensive line commitment, a very impressive young man, Tate Ratledge from out of Rome, Georgia, and this is another recruiting win for Sam Pittman. And, you know, Chip, you cover Pittman and have now for a number of years. Hard to overstate his impact on the Georgia program. Obviously, recruiting, we can count the wins, but in terms of the nucleus of the Georgia offense, built around this big offensive line, you know, Pittman's DNA is just on all the integral parts of this program by this point, is it not?
Yeah, it really is, B.A. It's incredible what Sam Pittman has done during his time at Georgia. And I'm actually, I think back to a time, you remember in Kirby's first season, Georgia opened against North Carolina, and I had the good fortune that spring, but before the 2016 season, of going up to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and visiting North Carolina. And I tell you that to tell you this, when I was up there, their SID by the name of Kevin Best was telling me about Sam Pittman. Now, I knew who Sam Pittman was. He was one of, if not the very first hire of Kirby Smart, one of the first hires in December of 2015 when he brought him on. But I didn't know all that is Sam Pittman. And so when I was up there at the University of North Carolina, they are still talking about Sam Pittman's presence at that university. And a lot of people probably don't even realize, but he put together an offensive line, and he was only there 4 years, I think, at the University of North Carolina, that at the end of it, six of the offensive linemen ended up on NFL rosters after his final year at North Carolina. So anyway, the point of that is this goes way back. This is not new. I do think he's taken it to a new level at Georgia. You know, we all live to see that, you know, yes, sir, tweet. And and that one came out today at the end of Tate Ratledge's announcement this morning. And just really incredible work. I'm actually sitting here. I have a list in front of me. I've kind of been reviewing his recruiting since he's been at Georgia. And it's pretty incredible, as you would expect.
We had a commenter in our video show a little earlier. We were on live for Tate Ratledge's decision that brought up kind of a good point. He kind of jokingly called Ratledge a part of the Great Wall 2.0. And this really is true, Chip, if you think about it. Look at Georgia's starting offensive line for this year. You have two 2016 signees as the guards in Solomon Kinley and Ben Cleveland. They'll both be eligible to go to the draft after this season. There's a chance that Georgia loses both of its starting offensive tackles. A chance that it doesn't, but Andrew Thomas is certainly thought to be a first-round pick. Isaiah Wilson could draw enough draft attention that it makes sense for him to leave as well. Those four names, Chip, are bedrock early signees for Sam Pittman in some form or fashion, have been a part of the Georgia offensive line since Pittman's been here. But if they're all gone moving into 2020, it is going to be a new collection of names, kind of that next generation of starters along the offensive line. And I think that's kind of interesting as not only Kirby Smart moves into the next phase of his development as a head coach, but for a guy like Pittman, who has been, as we said before, kind of the focal point of the success that Georgia's been able to have, that he's about to do it with a new crop of offensive line names, at least in some form or fashion, starting in 2020. I think that's kind of an interesting subplot to all of this.
Well, it is, and that's the point. You know, the adage, the battle cry in recruiting, NSR, never stop recruiting. You know, you're always recruiting because if you're recruiting the way you're supposed to be recruiting, certainly at the level of Georgia and Alabama and Clemson at this juncture in time, you've got to be prepared for those guys to move on, and you better be set to replace them, or else you are going to be a victim of what eventually it always becomes the case in college, is the cyclical nature of it. So the whole key, as Alabama has done under Nick Saban probably better than anybody, is staying ahead of the cycle. And if you're going to do that, you got to keep recruiting. So the hard part of that is when you're in the living room of Tate Ratledge or Broderick Jones or Warren McClendon or Xavier Trust or Clay Webb, you've got to convince them that, you know, Georgia is the best place for you, even though you're sitting there staring at Isaiah Wilson, Andrew Thomas, Solomon Kinley, all those guys who are going to line up for Georgia this year. And it's not a lie, but it's about convincing. Everybody wants to play right away. We live in a microwave society, and the general the general belief on a five-star recruit is they're supposed to come in and have an immediate impact regardless of that position. That's probably harder at offensive line than it is at every position. And, you know, there's no question you can just look at the recruiting rankings and see that Sam Pittman has taken it to a different level. But it hasn't always been, you know, the five-star. People forget that, you know, Solomon Kinley was a three-star. I think Ben Cleveland got some five-star mentions, but he was a four-star by the 24/7 aggregate. So blending those personalities, convincing them that the greater good is more important than instant gratification. That is the real skill and the gift of Sam Pittman. What he does in those living rooms, and I've spoken to a lot of parents over the years, is really incredible. And at the end of the day, he's just himself, but he's able to communicate those things and kind of keep the chemistry, where it needs to be to keep all these big, big people and big, big personalities happy.
Let me change the subject for a moment. I played some audio before you joined us of Kirby Smart on the Paul Feinbaum show from last week, and I guess in the ranking of surprises, the fact that Kirby doesn't take the bait, what's come out of Florida this offseason, some of that from Dan Mullen, admittedly not all of it from Mullen. A lot of talk from the Gators this offseason. They think they're back, and obviously a lot of Georgia fans, as you know, have been rubbed wrong by this. The fact that Kirby Smart's not taking the bait on this and saying that his team's going to do its talking with its helmets, I would imagine this probably ranks among the least surprising things that you've covered thus far this offseason, Chip. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that is fair to say. I mean, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, is anybody surprised with that response? I mean, that's one where he can just turn to that certain page, you know, and pull out the perforated page there and say, here, read this. You know, we're going to do our talk with our helmets. And, you know, I mean, I don't get quite as twisted up as everybody else does about kind of what Dan Mullen is saying and what he's doing. But look, this is the read. I'm, you know, everybody knows I'm a little bit older school, and that's the issue with trash talking and bulletin board is, that stuff can blow back on you pretty fast in this day and age. I mean, you know, there's there's nowhere to hide from those kind of things. And look, here's, you know, they got a real serious situation going on down there in Gainesville right now. There's a major DEFCON 5 or DEFCON 1. I forget which way it goes. But,
me too.
Damage control is going on down there because there's a possibility of really losing control of this recruiting class. And the fact of the matter is, you know, whatever Dan Mullen did, I think Dan Mullen's a good coach. I think what he did at Mississippi State was impressive. You know, what he does in Florida is a different thing. But at the end of the day, you're only as good as the players that you can bring in. And that's the same thing at Tennessee, too. And what's happening, this is like Matt Bowling on a track, right? The track signing, you got a lot of ground to make up, and that dude ain't slowing down. And Georgia's not slowing down either, as we see evidence in the past couple of weeks with these commitments. You know, a lot of Florida people were making a big deal about them being ranked ahead of Georgia there for a while, or Tech being ranked ahead of Georgia for a while in 2020. But it's a long way around that track. And Georgia's got some big time sprinters out there on it right now, and so that's you know, Florida's got some problems, and Georgia's rolling pretty good. But you're not going to hear any trash talking coming out of this then. And hey, you know, that's one of the advantages of being where Georgia is at this place and time. You know, you don't have to talk to trash.
Yeah.
You're setting the pace and let everybody else do what they need to do to try to catch up.
Well, I know you wrote about this the other day, and I know that my lack of objectivity when it comes to the Gators makes people sometimes skeptical of what I say about this, but I just think, Chip, it's objectively true that if you look at recruiting, right now Tennessee is a bigger threat to Georgia than Florida is. For as much chatter as comes out of Gainesville, it's Tennessee that's actually won with a few players, both transfers and high school signees, that Georgia would have liked to have had. You know, Florida's not really doing that. On the field, I think it's also just objectively true that Auburn's still a bigger threat on the field than Florida is. I think at Jordan-Hare in November is a much more dangerous game for Georgia than neutral site is versus Florida right now. I think one of the weird things about all the chatter that's come out of Gainesville, as much as they believe that they are back and, you know, kind of validated by the end of season ranking from a year ago, you don't hear a ton about Auburn on the field. But that's, to me, a more dangerous game for Georgia. And there are plenty of other programs who've created a kind of a recruiting buzz that Florida can only dream about. There's just a weird thing about all the Florida chatter, given from my perspective, that it doesn't seem to be based on a lot of tangible stuff.
Yeah, you know, there's a Florida thing that's out there all the time, Brandon, and you know, people don't like to talk about it, but, you know, Florida got more out of that, you know, 10-3 season than is truly justified, you know, because, I mean, you got to think about, you know, Florida last year, you look at their 10-3, you know, I mean, they get whacked by Kentucky at home. You know, they you know, lost to Georgia big, lose big to Missouri. All those games are in Benzil Griffin Stadium. I mean, you know, so that, I mean, that just tells you there's some fundamental issues. And yeah, there's a lot of people, you know, they certainly won the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl and won it decidedly 41-15 over Michigan. But you know, the reality of it, that was a struggling football team all year long. And where I say there's always been a little bit of a northeastern sort of bias. Florida carry, and it's justified from the standpoint that they did what they did in the early 2000s and in the 1990s under Steve Spurrier. They just get a lot of weight out of a very media-centric northeastern United States of America, and that's where ESPN is housed. They've always carried just an incredible amount of clout with ESPN for whatever reason, and that's where a lot of these narratives are set. Let's be honest about it. So that's what I think happened last season. I mean, Florida State was just horrible last year. They barely eked out a win over South Carolina in Gainesville, 35-31. I mean, I just think it was kind of some smoke and mirror stuff. Now, that said, you know, nobody stays static, and I think Felipe Franks definitely got remarkably better under Dan Mullen. I think Dan Mullen's good with quarterbacks, in particular in that system he runs. But fundamentally, they're still the Gators, and whether Tennessee or Florida are the bigger concern in the East, I'm not really willing to sit stick my neck out on that one right now. But you know, suffice it to say, both of them still have a lot of ground to make up on Georgia.
Let me try to do two quick things before I let you go. Chip, in a moment, I want to hear an update on some really good reporting that you did about the Georgia sprinter Elijah Godwin and the scary situation that looks like he's going to get a full recovery from. I want you to update us on that in just a moment. Let me squeeze in one more quick football thing before we get there. Mike Griffith wrote about this at Dog Nation. Bet Online, which is one of the online betting houses, release odds to make the college football playoff, and Georgia's at about, what, 45% or so to make the playoff, which ironically about the same odds as it would probably have to beat Alabama head-to-head, maybe slightly worse, but generally about the same kind of odds. And, Chip, I'm just not quite sure what you do with this. For literally about 125 teams in the country, almost 50% chance of making the college football playoff would be a really good thing. And yet for Georgia, whose two next-door neighbors, Alabama and Clemson, have slightly better odds, I'm not quite so sure Dog Nation takes this as good news. I'm not sure what to do with that information, but that's kind of the situation that Georgia's in right now, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, this is where Georgia is. They've gotten to that point. And, you know, quite frankly, people don't like to hear, but this is the same point that Mark Richt had gotten Georgia. So he is busting through at this point forward. And it's hard. It's not easy. You know, if you look, it's kind of interesting. If you draw a straight line across the map, just about, you can go Tuscaloosa, Athens, and Clemson, and it's kind of amazing with the kind of the college football power equator is running right through there right now in college football. And hey, it's just a fact, you know, if Georgia's going to do what they're going to do, they got to get through Alabama. And that's where this whole conversation about Florida sort of makes you chuckle. You know, Georgia honestly is not thinking about Florida right now when it comes to what they're trying to overcome and the challenges trying to, it's all firmly fixed on Alabama, because nothing they want they can get to without going through that group. And, yeah. You know, and maybe Clemson to a lesser extent. So when it comes to the betting houses, man, they're trying to entice you to put that money down. And I imagine a lot of Georgia people seeing that, you know, probably ran to their local bookie or called out to Las Vegas or flew out there, or when they get out there, they're going to go to one of those windows and put their money where their mouth is. Because I think 50-50 is where we are kind of with Georgia right now. There's nothing exact about this stuff. There's nothing exact about the last two games with Alabama. Those could have gone either way. Could be argued Georgia should have won them. That's where Georgia is right now, but until they fall on the right side of that, they're not going to be able to realize their dreams and aspirations.
At the risk of keeping you too long, I did want to get an update on some reporting you had done earlier this week. We all know the scary situation involving the Georgia sprinter Elijah Godwin. The javelin goes through him. It's amazing thing that Godwin's going to survive this, and yet it seems like he is. A full recovery is expected. You spent some time with him in the hospital. How did you find his spirits on the heels of what was something that got national attention because of the oddity of the story? But the closer you get to it, I imagine the scarier it becomes. How did you find your conversation with Godwin?
Well, he was. This is. I wish I could have shared, and maybe I should have in some way, shape, or form, the recording or video or something of. But he didn't want to be on camera of Elijah Godwin. But just what an unbelievable attitude this kid has. I mean, just really upbeat. You know, he comes from a Christian family. And so, you know, he feels like, you know, he's got a strong testimony now, and I think few of us could argue with that. When you just take a couple of facts and think about them for a second. So this javelin penetrated him, according to the police report, at a depth of 5 to 6 inches below the left shoulder blade. Now let's all just take our finger and put it back there on our back yeah. shoulder blade and think about what all's in there, okay? What all you got in there? Now, it punctured his left lung. This was an extremely serious situation, but he was so upbeat, number one, about that. Probably not enough has been said, Brandon, at this point, about the response of Georgia's trainers. And, you know, they have people on the scene at every practice, every workout. I apologize because the name of the trainer escapes me that was, you know, first on the scene there. But just to have you think about it now, our first reaction, all of us, if something gets stuck in you, is to pull it out.
Yeah.
And they had the wherewithal not to do that. They left it in him, They grinded it off because he was bleeding profusely, and this was the main issue. If you pull that out, there's no telling what happened. So just a freak happenstance. I need to get back together with Greg McGarity. You know, they're going to talk about, you know, some policies, procedures to make sure that this is a situation that, that doesn't get repeated in any way, shape, or form. If you just Google it up now, you know, javelin accidents, you know, discus, all those kind of things, they're very, very common in the track and field industry. Common's the wrong way to put it, but it's happened a lot over the years. But just the fact that Elijah Godwin is alive and well, you know, today, I haven't checked to see if he's been discharged. I imagine he has. The thought at the time was he was going to be discharged pretty soon from Piedmont Athens Regional Hospital. But a terrible, terrible tragedy was avoided. And he's a happy-go-lucky man today, as he was before this accident.
Chip, incredible reporting. We appreciate your time on Dog Nation Daily. Look forward to reading a bunch from you at DogNation.com this week. Thanks for being with us, and we'll hopefully catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, great job this morning, by the way, on all the recruiting news.
Thank you, Chip. Appreciate that.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really great stuff there from Chip Towers. And a couple of things that Chip said kind of gets me thinking. I think one of the things that Chip says about Florida is absolutely right. And I think it is a really interesting contrast between the two programs. And this is one of those things where obviously I'm a Gator hater, but this isn't necessarily wrong or right, good or bad. It's just kind of a thing. When Kirby Smart says, we're not going to trash talk. We're going to do our talking with our helmets. Who does that sound like? To me, that sounds an awful lot like Vince Dooley. Now, I'm not telling you that Kirby Smart says that because of Vince Dooley. After all, Kirby played for Jim Donnan. He's not a former Dooley player. But there is a program DNA, I believe. There is inheritable characteristics that are passed down in a program from generation after generation after generation. You can't quite prove that. You can't quite put your finger on it. But it's just true, right? I mean, Kirby Smart says what he says, and somehow, some way, that just kind of feels like the way that Georgia goes about his business. And for a lot of people, that's the right way to do business. But it may not be the only way, but it does happen to be the way that Georgia goes about its business. You contrast that with Florida. And Chip was talking about this before, about the way that Florida likes to be involved in the media, big talk. You know, he talked about the influence, you know, of kind of some of the big city northeastern media down on Florida. I think that Chip may have a little bit of a point to make there. But a lot of this kind of stuff goes back to Florida's legendary coach, Steve Spurrier. Steve Spurrier was a loud, brash, trash-talking type of guy, taking shots at his rivals. Now, when you were on the receiving end of that, that seemed like the wrong thing to do. And obviously, Georgia fans, you know, loved putting Spurrier in his place in 2015 at the end of his career at South Carolina. But it's not necessarily wrong, you know, what Spurrier did to build up the brand of Florida. After all, there wasn't much of a Florida brand before he got there. That's just kind of the Florida DNA. So in a lot of ways, Mullen is doing at Florida what the Florida coach is seemingly supposed to do. Kirby Smart's doing at Georgia what the Georgia coach is seemingly supposed to do. And we shall see which brand gets the best of the other come later on this season. I think I have an idea about who's going to come out on top on that. The one doing the talking with the helmets may be ultimately the one that ends up having the most success there. Before we do the rest of our SEC through, let me also remind you about our friends from Kroger. You know, we're getting close to graduation season, and a lot of you beginning your planning on that. Now, some of you, that's like a kindergartner or high school graduate or college graduate or medical school graduate or kind of anything in between, whatever you're thinking about. Kroger's got all you need to celebrate. For your graduation party, how about a sandwich catering bundle? Now, it includes assorted sandwiches, fresh fruit, party platters, choice of cupcakes or cake, and it's just $80. Now, that's going to serve like 20 to 24 people, so that's a lot of food for your party you're going to have, and $80 is a great bargain on that. You got two ways to order. Go to Kroger.com and get it all set up, or just go to the local Kroger right there near you and talk to one of the deli associates in there, and they'll get you rocking, rolling, and ready to go on that. All right, as part of our SEC through, I talked to Chip before about the fact that BetOnline has Georgia. It's playoff odds. I'm going to read this from Saturday on South because they did a pretty good job of kind of chronicling all of this. They've got Georgia. And one of the things I like about playoff bets is you can bet yes, you can bet no. So Georgia's plus 110 to make the playoff, minus 140 to miss it. And as I said before, those are incredible odds. Those are the kinds of odds that almost nobody could dream of. The next closest odds is plus 300 for yes. So Georgia's got a huge, huge favorability rating compared to almost everybody in college football for playoff odds, and yet they find themselves behind Alabama and Clemson right now, which is exactly where they ended the 2018 season. Listen, this is what it comes down to, and every Georgia fan knows this. In a fair fight, and right now both Alabama and Clemson would be fair fights, in a fair fight, likely kind of about 50-50 chance, Georgia's just got to win those games. And it's not going to be easy. This year's Georgia-Alabama game in December, assuming it gets played, I believe that it will, won't be any easier than last year's was or any easier than the 2017 National Championship game was. They are all games which Georgia has been very close. There's no guarantee that just because Georgia's been close, it's going to get over the hump. But there's also no guarantee that it won't. It just comes down to a big set of games. By the way, the other teams, if you're curious about who's still in here, Alabama more likely to make the playoff than not. Clemson more likely to make the playoff than not. They essentially have the same odds. Then it's Michigan. It's Notre Dame. Notre Dame is plus 300 to make the playoff, about a 24% chance. Georgia can change those odds in Athens in a hurry come September. Then Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Texas, according to Bet Online, those are your major college football favorites for the college football playoff, and it's kind of nice to see Georgia's position on that. The envy of most of college football, and yet still looking up at the two teams they've been looking up on for a while. Hopefully that'll change in the 2019 season. All right, coming up in just a moment. We had actually a very busy weekend on the Dog Nation video channels. In addition to the great Tate Ratledge coverage we gave you today from Rome, how about Jeff Sintel in Jacksonville, a chance to talk to Carson Beck? Mike Griffith down in South Florida, caught up with Lawrence Cager, caught up with Kenny McIntosh. I'm going to give you updates on all of those guys here coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, quick reminder about my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. You know, this is the time of year that a lot of you are kind of, you know, it's been cold, right? So you're out of the house now and you're looking around the house, and sometimes you see weird stuff. Crack in the foundation, wet spot in the basement. Listen, you don't want to let that fester too long. You want to get that taken care of, and you want to trust an expert to help you. How about a group that has a full-time engineer on staff? Engineered Solutions of Georgia certainly has one of those. They are the trusted experts when it comes to wet basements or cracked foundations or anything like that, so please give them a call at 678-ESOG now. That's 678-ESOG now, and one of their expert technicians will get your house back the way that it needs to be and take care of those foundation or water issues. All right. So here on Dog Nation Daily, as promised, let me let you hear, first of all, from Carson Beck. Now, let me set this up. Jeff had a long conversation with Beck. Over the course of the week, my guess is we'll probably end up talking a lot about what Beck had to say. Good reporting from Jeff Sintel on this. Many of you had your chance to ask your question to Carson Beck as part of that video on Friday. But in particular, as a way of maybe enticing you to go check out the full video, I thought that Beck said something pretty interesting about his time at G-Day, how much he enjoyed himself, and what he thought of the way other recruits were also enjoying themselves. This is good from the UGA quarterback commit. Here's Carson Beck.
But it was super fun, and especially just getting to know all those guys and kind of start building bonds and friendships, especially with the guys that aren't committed already. I mean, even with the guys that already are committed, but it was a lot of fun, and I got a few things in my mind, but I'm not going to spoil them, but we got some stuff coming.
So I think it's interesting from Beck, partially because with Mekhi Sherman's commitment last week, I think, and listen, I think for time of memoriam, we're going to make comparisons to the 2017 class because it was Kirby's first big class at Georgia. And the archetypes that were established with that class were always looking for other guys to follow in those footsteps in future classes. Richard LeCount, for instance, on the defensive side of the ball, was a clear leader for that 2017 class. Big personality, magnetic. He drew people in. I think they're players at Georgia because of Richard LeCount. And in future classes, it seems like Georgia fans are always looking for that next Richard LeCount to kind of fill that role. And I think that Mekhi Sherman, the five-star linebacker that committed last week, has a chance to be this year's version of what LeCount was in 2017 on the defensive side of the ball. People seem to like Sherman. He's got a really cool personality. He just seems like a nice guy. People like hanging out with nice guys. Sherman kind of seems like one. So he's got that on lock on the defensive side. However, you've also got to have the offensive version of that. And it's always easier when a quarterback does that. Jake Fromm did that for the class of 2017. He did it well. I know Justin Fields' time at Georgia was short-lived, but Fields was a little bit of a Pied Piper for you in the 2018 class as well. Good players want to play with good quarterbacks. And Carson Beck is establishing those credentials for himself, too. You saw a lot of these photos on social media of Beck always right in the middle of all these kind of social congregations with Kendall Milton and all the guys who were there that weekend. There were a lot of photos of them together. So Beck, you want a quarterback who's comfortable in his own skin. You want a quarterback who other guys want to hang out with. And I think a lot of these guys do like hanging out with Beck, and Beck enjoyed himself. And it seems like he's got some ideas about who else enjoyed themselves from G-Day, and maybe we'll be hearing more from them coming up in the weeks ahead. So that's good stuff with Jeff Sintel from Jacksonville. Go to DogNation.com or the Dog Nation video channels for more on Jeff with Carson Beck. That's kind of a fun thing. Mike Griffith was also busy this weekend down in South Florida. One of the guys he had a chance to catch up with is the incoming freshman running back, Kenny McIntosh, who's going to arrive at Georgia this summer. But just because he's not on campus yet, don't let that make you think that he's not working hard to get ready to be a Bulldog. In fact, here's a brief snippet of what he told Mike Griffith about that.
But we've been training in the heat since 11 to 1. We cardio, getting it right every day. I've trained with Perform. They've been training me since I've been a sophomore in high school. They push me. They know my strengths, my weaknesses, what I need to work on. And, you know, so I think I'm going to be ready for college.
What you hear there from Kenny McIntosh reminds me a lot of what Trayvon Walker also told us back in January when we caught up with him at the Touchdown Club of Atlanta Awards Banquet. You know these guys want to be on campus. The fact they can't be yet has them chomping at the bit. But doing so in a way to say, when I do get there, I'm going to be in pristine physical condition. You like hearing that from Kenny McIntosh. That's not the only player Mike caught up with while he was in South Florida, though. How about the new coming transfer wide receiver, Lawrence Cager from Miami? Cager, why did he choose UGA? Mike, good reporting on this. Take a listen.
Lawrence, you had a lot of opportunities coming out of Miami. Why choose Georgia Bulldogs?
Just the relationship I had with Coach Smart out of high school, recruited me at Alabama. And right. spending a year at under Coach Coley as my freshman year. Wanting to go to Georgia out of high school was great.
Yeah, I got to say, I think that's great stuff, and it's kind of a proud thing for me to go to those Dog Nation video channels and see this morning live in Rome with Tate Ratledge, in Jacksonville on Friday with Carson Beck, down in South Florida with Lawrence Cager and Kenny McIntosh. Don't mean to toot the Dog Nation horn too much, but listen, Dog Nation got the entire South covered here over the course of the weekend. So do me a favor, go to the Dog Nation video channels, watch all those videos. I know that Mike and Chip both be writing a bunch about what they had going on there, and I'm guessing here on Dog Nation Daily in the days ahead, we will also unpack much of what they had to say. Let me take a quick moment to congratulate the Diamond Dogs series win at Auburn over the weekend. Weather was an issue. You end up having to play the doubleheader on Saturday. Georgia dropped the first one there, but came back and got the series win in the finale. So good stuff with UGA as it positions itself for the postseason. Congrats to the Diamond Dogs on that. Also, we talked a little Florida earlier. Around here, we're Gator haters. We believe all Georgia fans should be. And 926 days, that's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. It's our Gator Hater Updater. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.